Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here today. Man, you all, this is going to be a good day. You all are talkative and excited to be here. So that's fantastic. Thank you to everybody that's joining us on Facebook. We appreciate you for watching with us as well. As we have been mentioning for several weeks, you may have noticed the table out there in the foyer. Church elections are today, so if you're a member of the church and have not had a chance to vote yet, that will be set up for voting 30 minutes after our services this morning, so make sure you vote on the way out. That will only be set up after church today, will not be set up tonight, so make sure you do that this morning. Choir practice this evening at 5 p.m., small groups at 6, just like normal, both in the Good News classroom here and out at Peavine. Regular Wednesday evening activities at 6 p.m., so don't forget about that. And then MomCo will be this Thursday, both sessions, 9:30 in the morning and 6 in the evening. And then I've been announcing for several weeks that American Heritage Girls and Trail Life Awards Ceremony and Carnival will be May 2nd from 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening, and we'll be presenting special award to Alex David Montoya, and it is our first Freedom Award from our Trail Life chapter here at the church. So we're very excited about that. Don't forget about that to help support what we're doing with Trail Life and American Heritage Girls. And then, as many of you know, Miss Nancy Morris had passed away, was always a vibrant member of our church for many, many years. And on next Saturday, May 3rd, there will be a meal with the family at noon in the Family Life Center, visitation at 1 in the sanctuary, and then a memorial service 2 here in the sanctuary. So please be in prayer for her family and remember those events for next Saturday. Next Sunday is baby day, so please be inviting, if you have friends, neighbors, or family that have babies, please be inviting them to be here to celebrate their children with us, and we always have a good time doing that. You may have noticed this Friday that you got two emails from the church, one for the bulletin and one for upcoming events on the calendar. So make sure you saw those to stay on top of what's going on in the church for the next couple weeks and the next months. And we appreciate you for being here and supporting the church with your attendance and with your tithes and offerings.
This weekend for the East Tennessee District was Board of Ministry meeting. And Pastor Jack got the opportunity of meeting with the Board of Ministry for the first time. And it is not official yet, but it will be at District Assembly. It was a unanimous vote to give him his first district minister's license. We met with 43 yesterday and day before, people who are coming to either begin the process of seeking ordination, are in the process of ordination, or are going to be ordained at our district assembly. And it is exciting to me as an older guy, and it bothers me to say it like that. Scott understands. He's older than I am, but... just by a few days. But it is exciting to me as an older pastor, preacher, to know that 43 people are feeling God's call and are answering God's call. And so we praise God for that. But we say congratulations to Pastor Jack. One of the special opportunities that I have as pastor is to receive new members into the congregation. And today we have several people who are going to be joining our church. And those of you who are going to be joining our church today, they've gone through membership class. And we want you to come and stand here before the congregation and face me. How about that? That's good, yes. That's the thing. And it's good to see Bill back in church. After being sick, he's had a rough go of it. It's been an honor to be with you and to be a part of the membership class with you. And today we have the special honor of receiving you into the membership of our church. Dearly beloved, the privileges and blessings that we have in community together in the Church of Jesus Christ are sacred and precious. There is in it such hallowed fellowship, care, and counsel as cannot otherwise be known apart from the family of God. There is the godly care of pastors with the teaching of the Word and the inspiration of corporate worship. And there is cooperation in service, accomplishing that which cannot otherwise be done. Today we affirm again the agreed statement of belief for the Church of the Nazarene.
We believe in one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in the Old and New Testament scriptures given by plenary inspiration contain all truth necessary to faith and Christian living. We believe human beings are born with a fallen nature and are therefore inclined to evil and that continually. We believe that the finally impenitent are hopelessly and eternally lost. We believe that the atonement through Jesus Christ is for the whole human race and that whoever repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is justified and regenerated and saved from the dominion of sin. We believe that believers are to be sanctified wholly after regeneration through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the Holy Spirit bears witness to the new birth and also to the entire sanctification of believers. And we believe our Lord will return, the dead will be raised, and the final judgment will take place. Do you heartily believe these truths? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you believe that He saves you now? If so, respond by saying, I do by faith.
I do by faith.
Desiring to unite with the Church of the Nazarene, do you commit to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, as expressed in the covenants of Christian character and conduct? Do you commit to the mission of God as expressed in the doctrine, fellowship, and the work of the Church of the Nazarene? Will you support the teachings of the Church of the Nazarene and strive with God's help to grow in your understanding and practice of the same in a way that enhances the witness of the Church? Will you endeavor in every way to glorify God by a humble walk, godly conversation, and holy service, by devotedly giving of your resources, and by faithfully participating in the means of grace? Will you follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life, abstain from all evil, and seek earnestly to perfect holiness of heart and life in the fear of the Lord? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Amen. I welcome you to this body of believers. It is so exciting to see what God is doing and how God is working. And we're thankful that you guys have come to this place and desire to be a part of what God is doing with us. And we rejoice in the fact that today you are joining our church. May God bless you. Bless you, Chelsea. Amen. Amen. See you. Bless you. Bless you, Bill. Faith. Amen. God bless you guys. You can be seated and you can also vote today. May God bless you. Thank the Lord for you. Amen. Let's worship.
All right, let's stand together this morning. Take a couple minutes just to greet those that are around you. Welcome them to the service this morning. Find our seats. Let's begin to worship our Lord this morning. We're going to sing about His grace this morning. Are you thankful for the grace of God? Let's sing it together. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with us.
And all your people sing.
grace this morning? Are you thankful for His grace this morning? Not only the grace that has saved us, but the grace that keeps us. You know, we're quite aware of the fact that on a Sunday morning when we gather together, that a lot of life has happened in the last 5 or 6 days. In my life, in your life. Life can be difficult. Life is difficult. Not can be. Life is difficult. I was just saying with somebody, with Jay this morning. You know, you almost find yourself thinking, oh, a day went by that something major didn't happen in my life, you know? And if it's not happening in your life, it might be happening in your family. And then you turn on the news. And then if you weren't already discouraged, you really can get discouraged with all that's going on around our world. If it weren't for the grace of God helping us. And then you add on top of that, where John wrote in Revelation that he saw the accuser of the brothers and sisters. Did you know Satan's your accuser? And it says that day and night he never tires. He's relentless to discourage and to tell us there's no hope. And to make us feel like, we learned this morning in class, that where is God? Is God still working in our lives? And yet that's not the end of the story. The end of the story isn't that Satan's our accuser. The end of the story is last week we celebrated a risen Savior who came to earth. And yes, He died. And yes, He was buried in a tomb. But He also stood up in that tomb. And He faced the enemy. And He faced your accuser. And He faced my accuser. And He said, it's finished. It's done. I have the last word. And my last word is victory. Victory. So this next song is your testimony. It's my testimony. Some songs we sing as a group, as a body, for what God is doing for the church or for the world. This one is a personal testimony. In Christ alone, I stand. It's something that we need to declare as believers more and more in this day. That I don't care what the world says, and I don't care, Satan, what you send my way. I'm grounded on the rock, and the rock is Jesus, and He will not move. And that's what we need to proclaim, and that's what we're going to proclaim as we sing this together. Sing this with me, in Christ alone.
In Christ alone, I hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground.
Since curse has lost its
life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my death in me. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Amen. Yes. Amen. And it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. In our lungs, so we pour out our
One thing I appreciate about our church is that the altars are always open. And we're going to sing this chorus through one more time. And if you have a need, if you have a burden, if you just simply want to come and tell Jesus thank you, we're going to open the altars and allow you to come. And then after we sing the chorus through one more time, Pastor Jack Oden is going to come and pray for us today. But if you need to pray about something, now is a really good time to come and make your need known to God, or just simply say thank you. Let's join together and sing one more time.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so
thankful. But Father, we have gathered together this morning in this place called a house of prayer. And Lord, you said wherever two or three would gather, you'd be here, Lord. And we know you are here already. But Lord, we sense your presence. And Father, we cry out for the needs of your people, God, our brothers and our sisters. Some are hurting. Some are going through some difficult times. Some are going through tests and trials. But Lord, you're the answer to all things. And we pray this morning, O Lord, you will touch. And may that touch, O God, begin here and now. In this place, O God, as we touch others' lives through your grace and love, through your strength, O Lord, and you enable us, O God, to call out to your holy name and to realize, Lord, you hear the cries and you answer our prayers. Lord, bless, I pray. Bring healing. Bring wholeness. May the love of Jesus Christ be made known in and through our lives. That, Lord, someone would come to hear of your great love and of your name, that above that name, O God, above all the world can come to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord. Bless the church. Lord, our hearts are uplifted if we see new members come into this place this morning. But Lord, there's many others throughout this city that needs to hear the good news. There are many others, oh God, throughout our community that needs to hear that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And that he reaches out and he will save them. And he will, if just caught up on his holy name, oh Lord, they may be saved. It's all because of your love that you loved us with, that we, oh God, love others. Help us and bless us. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank the Lord this morning for all of his many blessings. I can remember as a little boy, about 12 years old, I started coming to the Church of the Nazarene, and I gave my life to the Lord. And I want to thank everyone that is praying for me, that I might serve the Lord in the way that he would want me to. I can feel it in my heart that the Church of the Nazarene is getting away from getting up and testifying to the Lord. And I just want to say that He is everything to me this morning. And I just want to thank Him for giving me life and for saving me. I usually don't stand up in front of a crowd. But there was something in my heart this morning that told me, you need to get up and testify. So I just praise Him this morning. Thank you.
Dave, how long have you been a member of the church? Aren't we grateful for faithfulness? Praise His name. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at two verses, verses 12 and 13 here in just a few moments. Isn't it wonderful to have a great service of worship and praise? Amen. I mean, you just have had the opportunity to bask in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you feel fulfilled, you feel excited about what has happened, and then the preacher gets up to preach. You know, I mean, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, that just happened right here in this service. You know, now be nice. I'll talk to Eugene after the service, but that's, you know, the reality of it is you're not the first group of people probably to think that, you know. And the good news is, the other good news is, you won't be the last people to think that. Because what we're going to look at this morning is basically what I just described. You've had a proclamation of Jesus and who He is and what He has done. And you look at verses 5 through 11 here in Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death of a cross. Therefore, God has exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's really easy to say amen at that point, isn't it? I mean, last Sunday morning as we came together, as Easter Sunday morning, and we come together and we talk about Christ's resurrection, we talk about Christ's obedience, we talk about Christ's servanthood. I mean, Him becoming less so that you and I might have more. I mean, we saw and we talked about the exaltation of Jesus, and we talked about the fact that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. I mean, that's exciting stuff. It really is. But then you come to verse 12. Listen to what He says. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Like I said just a moment ago, it's real easy to say amen right after that hymn of praise. I mean, it's real easy to say amen after we have worshiped and after we have praised God. But that was not really the reason for Paul's writing. You do remember that, don't you? I mean, we talked about Easter Sunday, and it was good to rejoice last Sunday. And I want to tell you, I want to thank you for being here last Sunday, for inviting people. Do you realize that we had the largest attendance that we've had since I've been your pastor last Easter Sunday morning? We praise God for that. And it's exciting to feel the excitement building, and as good things are happening. But the praise was not just what Paul was writing to these people concerning. He's writing to remind this church
to remind this church, to remind our church, that there are issues that need to be addressed, that there are problems that need to be resolved, and that there is work that needs to be done. Now see, I've caught you. I know that. I mean, you were all excited about, you know, the praising God for who He is and what He's done. But now that I mentioned issues to be resolved, and y'all didn't get nearly as excited about that. I don't think they did either. Well, if there are needs to be addressed and problems that need to be solved and work that needs to be done, how are those things going to happen? How are those things going to move and come into place and everything do what it's supposed to be? And so I'm so glad that you did ask that question, because that's what we're going to look at this morning. Because Paul says to this group of people, you need to work out your salvation. Well, if we have needs that need to be addressed and problems that need to be solved and work that needs to be done, what is it going to take for those things to happen? You find them here in verses 12 and 13. The first thing that I want you to see is if those things are going to happen, it's going to take obedient people. It's going to take obedient people. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, I've told the story many, many times about Mel Brookshire. I'm not going to tell it this morning. But all that Paul is saying here has to do with obedience. I mean, some people are obedient because they are forced to be obedient. You know, it's like the little boy who was told to sit down by his mother. And he looks at his mother and he says, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." That might have been me and my mom. I don't know, you know. I mean, there's fear because they're forced. I mean, there's obedience because they're forced to be. There's obedience because it's expedient. You're obedient because of your hope in what will happen if you tough it out and do what is supposed to be done. There's obedience because of fear. There's obedience that if you don't do something, there's going to be punishment. And that punishment could be very, very severe. So you have all these different kinds of obedience. And the word that's used here for obedience primarily means to obey. But it also has with it the idea to listen attentively. It has this idea of hearing because of the authority that it is speaking. It has this idea of submission because of what is heard. It implies that these people are being obedient because they are ready to obey. Mel, across the front of his Sunday school class, willful, loving obedience. That's a readiness to obey. That's not a sitting back because I've got to do it. It's not a sitting back there because I hope I'm going to get something. It's not a doing it because I'm afraid of the punishment. It's, I know that what I'm about to do is going to be the best thing for me. And so therefore, I'm willing to obey. I told you a few weeks ago about the mom in Walmart that told her child that you need an attitude adjustment. Now, that's all part of this, but when you really look at this, what Paul is saying is not talking about our attitude. He's already dealt with that. Now Paul moves to the point that he is saying you need a heart adjustment. Didn't figure I'd get very many amens on that one. But I mean, really, that's what he's talking about. We've moved from just having an attitude adjustment, a renewing of our mind, to the renewing of our heart so that we'll do what we've been called to do. You see, obedience in the Christian experience is not so much about the head as it is the heart. You see, issues that happen in a church are more often issues that relate to the heart rather than issues of the mind. And when our heart is right, we're going to be willing to put ourselves second. When our heart is right, we're going to be willing to be a servant as we're supposed to be. You see, this is not just a New Testament principle. You also finding it in the Old Testament. Saul has had this great battle. He has killed almost all the army. He was supposed to kill the king. He was supposed to kill all the sheep. He was supposed to kill all the cattle. Now, we don't understand all of that, but that's what God had said. It was for a purpose. But he didn't kill all the sheep. He didn't destroy all the wealth. He brings the king back to make a spectacle of him. So that basically you could say, look what Saul has done. And Samuel shows up. Isn't it amazing how preachers just ruin everything? They show up and I'm telling you, all the happiness ceases. At least, sometimes. And Samuel says to Saul, we've got a problem. But he doesn't say that until Saul says, look at all of this stuff. We have obeyed the Lord. And in 1 Kings chapter 15, Samuel says to Saul, does the Lord take delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. I love how Samuel says to him after he says, look at all the things that we've done. Samuel says, then what is this bleating of the sheep that I hear? If you've done everything that you were supposed to do, why is all this going on? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. You go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And Paul has now told them twice, whether he's there or whether he's absent, that they should be obedient, because he says there in chapter 1, verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. What is he saying there? He's saying you need to be obedient. You need to do what you've been called to do, irregardless of how you feel about it. And so, when you begin to look at this, when you begin to talk about this for issues that need to be addressed and problems that need to be solved and work that needs to be done, it's going to take obedient people that do what God is calling them to do. Not necessarily what they in themselves want to do. But it's also going to take people working things out. Verse 12, one more time. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, people have taken and they've made this part of this verse say something that it is not saying. Paul is not saying, work for your salvation and work something out. Okay? He's not saying that at all. He's not saying, work for your salvation with fear and trembling. He says, continue to work out your salvation. There is a huge difference between working for something and working out something. That's worth me repeating so that you'll hear it. There is a big difference between working for something and working out something. You see, working for something means that I am doing it. That I am going to get a reward. That I am in control of this whole process. And that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying here that you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You say, well, Pastor, how do I work out my salvation? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I'm going to tell you. You see, when you start talking about working out your salvation, you're talking about there applying the Word of God to our everyday lives. You see, we're called to live out the Word of God. I want you to understand, this is not given to us just as a maybe so, hope so handbook. This has been given to us so that we can put it in action in our daily lives. If it's there,
hold on, here it comes.
If it's there, he meant it. Amen, William, good preaching. I mean, really, folks, if it's there, that's what he meant. He didn't. He just didn't say it because he wanted to fill up a few thousand pages. We're called to live out the Word of God in our everyday lives. And when we think of what is at stake, I was reminded this week that we are living with eternity in view. And if it's not of eternal value, it doesn't mean a whole lot. That's what we're living for. We're living with eternity in view, not just for us, but for the people that are around us. And if it's not with eternity in view, we need to really check it out. It may be something that we need to lay aside on a permanent basis, not just for a few days. This working it out also means that we're going to pursue God. We're going to pursue His will in our lives. It means that we're going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It means we're going to do all of those things, and people are going to be able to see those things in our lives. That's working out our salvation. It means that we're going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. That's what we're called to do. And if things are going to change in your life, it's going to be because you begin to work out these things. That you become people of the Word, that you become people who are living examples of the Christ that we say we follow. That's working out the salvation. But please understand, this is not just a singular type thing. This is a corporate type thing as well. Because this word, continue to work out your salvation. We're going to see it again here in just a moment. But it can also be talking about a corporate thing. That we as a body of believers follow the Word. That we as a body of believers follow the will of God. That we as a body of believers display and exhibit the image of Christ in the community in which we live. I want to ask you a question. I really want you to think about it this morning. It just came to me. So this is not in the notes. This is free, evidently. Okay? If you were to ask somebody in our community, what does Crossville Nazarene do? For a whole lot of people, they're going to go, huh? Where is that? We are the best kept secret in Crossville. We are. You see, this not only involves us individually, but it also involves us as a body of believers that we begin to put into practice all the things that Jesus said and all the things that Jesus wants us to do. It's a working out of our salvation so that the world can see that there's something real about everything that Jesus has said. For issues that need to be addressed and problems that need to be solved and work that needs to be done, it's going to take obedient people who are working out, exhibiting Christ in their own lives and in the life of the church. But Paul adds something to the end of this verse. You thought I was finished with verse 2. Point number 2, I'm not quite there yet. Because he adds this in there. He says you need to do this with fear and trembling. What is meant by that? It means that we just don't do this in a flippant manner. It's kind of like the little girl who came down to pray at the altar, and the pastor went to kneel with her, and he said, what is Jesus saying to you tonight? And she said, well, he's wanting me to follow him. And he said, well, what did you say? She said, I said, okie dokie. This is more than an okie dokie proposition. This is a laying down of our lives. This is a taking up our cross. This is being obedient to the Word as we follow Him. You see, because of all that God has done, we determine that we're gonna live for Him, that we're going to follow Him, that we're going to live out our salvation as we have received with the realization that it is a holy God who has called us to this kind of life. That doesn't mean we go before God all cowered down. I love what the Hebrew writer says. The Hebrew writer says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't come into the throne of grace simply because we say, look at me, who I am. We come in there because of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is enabling us to come into His presence. It is a holy awe of who God is and what He will do in our lives. Some of us, me included, from time to time need an Isaiah experience where He walks into the very throne room of God and He sees God high and lifted up and exalted. He sees all that's going on around this holy God and He says, oh my goodness, I got problems. That's the bony paraphrase of that, incidentally. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. You see, folks, I think if we really get a view of God, it's going to cause us want to live out His will and to live out His Word, and for the image of Christ to be displayed in us and for the fruit of the Spirit to be flowing from us. That's the working out. That is not working for. That is the working out of our salvation because of the God that we serve. But I'm glad He doesn't stop there. Because He goes on and He says that these things, the needs that need to be addressed, the problems that need to be solved, the work that needs to be done, all of that will only happen when obedient people are exhibiting in their own spiritual lives, in the lives of the church, His power, His presence. They're working out that salvation through the power of God. The reason I said a moment ago, I'm glad He doesn't stop there, because if we were to look at all that and think that we have to do it all, then I'm telling you, we are in trouble. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. You see, He doesn't stop with us having to do it all. He continues on to show us that it's God who is working in this. Jacobus Mueller said that the believer must work out what God in His grace has worked in. I liked that. That the believer must work out what God in His grace has worked in. That God has put in us. You see, salvation is brought about not by our works, but by the work that God has done in us. And here again, the in you that is there is not just necessarily talking about one person, although that's how it's worded. It's kind of a corporate thing as well. God is the one working in William, hopefully. God is the one working in you, hopefully. God is the one who is working in us to do His good will and to bring about His good purpose. You see, as one commentator said, God is at work and it affects our will and our work. The decision to follow the will of God and the desire to do the work of God. I mean, the amazing part is that God does this for His own good pleasure. Now hold on. Okay? But all of that is not just because God gets enjoyment out of it. God is working in us because it pleases Him, but also because it's the best thing for us. Isn't that amazing? That God, He loves us enough that He wants to bring out the best in us. He wants to see us be all that we should be and can be. I'm amazed at that. I mean, if God knows all the things that I've done and He loves me anyway, why would He want to work in me? Just so you won't feel left out, I'll bring it close to home. Even though God knows all the things that you have done, why would He want to work in you? Because He loves you. Because He cares about you. Because He wants you to be a part of what is going to be eternal. Isn't that amazing? We are not just living for the here and the now. We are living with eternity in view. I mean, it was so good this morning to see people join the church. We have others that are going to be joining the church, and I praise God for that. You know, and I said this Wednesday night, I want to repeat it. Anything that is good that is happening is because God is at work. It's not because of the pastor. It's not because of the staff. It's not because of the church board. And we're electing those things today, except for the pastor. If you want to do that, see the new church board. But anything good that is happening, folks, is because of God. It's because God has allowed us to be at this point and place and time, and it's good for us, and it pleases Him. It's amazing when you stop and think about it, that it pleases Him because it's good for us. And we know that in all things, God works for the, you can say it, it won't hurt you, good. Of those who love Him, of those who are called according to His purpose. And the only way that we can accomplish what God has called us and has given us the opportunity to accomplish is through His power, not through ours. Not through ours. Application. Let me do something. I'm going to put all 3 points together, okay? There it is on the screen. Go ahead. For issues that need to be addressed, for problems that need to be solved, and work that needs to be done, it's going to take obedient people working things out through God's power. You see, being the church means that we're going to be obedient regardless of what that means. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, that's in verse 8. And being found in appearance as man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The old song says, He the great example is, and I used to think that was a. He the great example is and pattern for me. You see, He was obedient. And because He was obedient, we have to be obedient. You know. Being the church means that we're going to work in such a way as to glorify God and not consider, is it going to profit us or is it going to allow us to have our own way? Because we are living with eternity in view. It's not about us. And what we do to glorify God. That's the way it is, folks. And those things ultimately are all about Him and not about us. It's about Him. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act
in order to fulfill His good purpose. Wow. Work out your salvation every day in every way to bring glory to Him. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your word. We're grateful, Father, for the way that You speak to us. It was a joy last Sunday morning to talk about the resurrection and the exaltation and the proclamation. Kind of like Peter, as he had been on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and when Jesus comes back close, he said, "It's good for us to be here, Lord. Let's build 3 tabernacles." But You knew that in the valley, there were things that needed to be done. And it was great to celebrate last week. It was great to worship this morning. But now this morning, there's work to be done. There's things to be accomplished. There are problems to be resolved. There's a word, a capital W, there's a word to be lived out. There's a mission field that we are about to enter. And so I ask You, Father, that You would help us this day, that we might indeed realize that it's going to require obedient people who are living out the reality of Jesus in their lives, not through their own power or strength, but by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So help us today to leave this place with Your power and Your presence, knowing, Lord, that You want to do this in us, not just because it pleases You, but because it is the best thing for us. And so, Lord, today we rejoice in that. Today, Lord, we come to the end of a church year. Today, Lord, we have elections. Regardless of who is elected, this is still Your church. These are still Your people. And we believe, God, that You have a purpose and a plan for us and for the city of Crossville. May we not fail You. May we not fail each other. May we not fail those people who are not here yet, but who desperately need to know that Jesus saves, that Jesus sanctifies, that Jesus works, even when nothing else does. So help us to go from this place to work out our salvation in view of a God that is awesome, that is powerful, but in view of a God that we can call Father. Thank You for Your presence, for Your power. Thank You for what You're going to do in our church. We give You glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sure and remember that for the next 30 minutes to about 10 after 12 this morning, the polling place will be open out there. If you're a member of the church, you've not voted, please go and do that. And I'm so thankful for those who are willing to serve. May God bless you. Remember small groups this evening and also on Wednesday night. Have a great day. You are dismissed.